Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Purdy Insurance. Visit Purdy Insurance on Market Street in Sunbury or visit online at purdyinsurance.com. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, key routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Purdy's has served this valley for decades. They give you the best insurance at the right price that fits your budget. And if there's a claim, they go to work in seconds. They care. Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Our play-by-play call of the day. Northern Iowa gets to the NCAA tournament at Arch Madness in St. Louis.
With 15 seconds to play, tied at 54. Winner goes to the NCAA tournament. The loser checks into Heartbreak Hotel. Washburn way out front. He's got Ballantyne on him. Three to shoot it. West pulls up for two. It is good! It is good! He made the shot! He made the shot!
And they're going to the NCAA tournament. Wichita State might not make it, which would put them into the NIT automatically. But Northern Iowa, the four seed in the Valley, wins on that shot by Wes Washburn at the buzzer to win the MVC. That's our play-by-play call of the day. All right, big day today in Champaign-Urbana because they've changed head football coaches. Nobody changes head football coaches in March, but Illinois does. Bob Osmussen from the Champaign News Gazette joins us. And, Bob, it's an interesting way for this to play out. Tim Beckman takes the team through the preseason. Week of the Kent State game, fired. Bill Cubitt, interim head coach. Takes them through the season. They go 5-7. He gets a 2-year contract. Josh Whitman's on the job for less than 5 minutes on Saturday. First day on the job. Fires him. And now they've hired Lovie Smith. Tell us how this all played out.
Basically, he called Bill Cubitt into his office and said, Bill, you got to go. And I think, obviously, given the hire here, Josh knew what he was doing. It was clear Lovie was hired when Josh got hired. So there's a really quick turnaround. Not something that everybody would do like that, but I think they feel pretty happy about it right here today.
Well, Bob, what's interesting is that he didn't want to be in really an interim 2-year situation. In other words, if I'm going to fix it, I'm going to fix it now. Is that basically his attitude?
I think that's it, Steve. I definitely think that's decided to do. Well, rather than waste the 9 months it's going to take to get through a Bill season, just cut the cord now. I'm not sure that's fair to the coaches on the staff. In fact, I'm sure it's not fair. But I think long-term for Illinois football, it's probably the right way to go if this is the right guy.
Right. What's been at least the initial reaction from fans and others alike about Lovie Smith, who obviously has tremendous cachet in Illinois?
Right. Oh, I think it's been almost 100% for this move. Because, like you said, people know him in Chicago. They know him as a Bears coach, as a Tampa Bay coach. They know him from the Rams time when he was defensive coordinator there. So I think generally it's going to be all positive for now. Now, people have got to see, who does he hire as his coaches? How does he recruit? How does he work with the players? But all the indications are that he's a really good guy, that people like him, the players love him, apparently. So I think it's generally a pretty popular choice right now.
Bob, you did mention a couple times and reference the players and all of that. In today's age, it's hard to keep anything quiet. The players found out on Twitter. Were there any regrets from Josh Whitman that that's how they found out?
Totally. Oh, yeah. No question. I think Josh felt like it would be out there anyway. I think he should have put a little faith in the system, let the players. I think in my mind, that's the one mistake that's been made here. I mean, I think the assistant coaches being all hired and then now told they're gone, that's really hard. But if they're not letting the players know before you actually fire the guy is not proper. And I think Josh would admit that was a mistake. But that's one of those things you live and learn. I'm sure the next time something like this comes up, Josh will handle it better. But again, I feel bad for the players. Because this is like your father being, you know, it's like losing the father, losing a family member. It's really important to them, so I felt bad for them.
Yeah, I think a lot of people did in that regard as to how they found out. The next step in all this, Josh Whitman as the athletic director. All right, now he's been on the job, 48 to 72 hours officially.
Right.
What kind of background? I understand it's not just being an AD at a Division III school, but at the same time, he has a legal background as well. Is that correct?
Right. He was a lawyer, a successful lawyer, a really good lawyer. In fact, I think if he stayed on that track, he'd probably be a guy in the, you know, Congress or Senate. He's one of those guys. He's really smart. But the more important, I think, here was he played here. He knows this place really well. Played for Ron Turner in the 90s. I think people here really liked him. I'll tell you honestly, he's the smartest player I've ever dealt with here. He was so smart. And I'm not surprised he came back to do something big like BAD, but I think people here are really fun. He could be a guy that could turn this thing around. Steve, this is a mess. I mean, I can't explain what a mess this is. And I know Penn State's been through a lot of stuff over the last 4 or 5 years, but this is different things, but really on par in terms of how bad it looks and how messy it was. You lose a coach right before the season, fire their AD right before the season ends. It's really been a mess. So,
and there's also been an interim chancellor as well, correct?
Oh, yeah. I mean, luckily there's not an interim sports writer. But otherwise, everybody else is interim. No interim announcers or no interim sports writers, but everybody else here is temporary. Yeah. That's hard.
I mean, that's been the amazing thing, is that because there's also been, for the lack of a better, I guess, an academic scandal there as well, which caused them to have an interim chancellor. Is that correct?
Actually, I think that part is more. That part is very overblown.
Fair enough.
The old chancellor, I will tell you, was wonderful. I would not have forced her out. I'm not sure why she got forced out, but I think they made a call. I think looking back now, they probably regret it because. Right. A lot of this got stopped because they didn't have anybody in place to make the hires. You have no AD for several months. That's hard to do. It's hard to replace a coach when you don't have an AD. So, I mean, Josh, first day, he hires a new coach. Or fires a coach. On the first day on the job, where does that happen? Where does the spring ball get pushed back because you don't have a coach? Has that ever happened? I don't think so.
Not that I've heard of.
No, not me.
But he did give John Gross, the basketball coach, a vote of confidence, correct?
Yes, he did. And I think that was a smart move because as you look at the landscape of basketball in the state right now, Illinois got a chance to put together a great recruiting class for next year. So I think John Gross has the chance to do that. If they change coaches now, that would be done. Those guys would all go. They've already got two commits for next year. They're working on three others. This could turn quickly in a good way for Illinois in basketball. I think Josh Whitman saw in football it would take longer, and so why not get that ball rolling now?
Well,
makes some sense.
Yeah, no, there's no question it would take longer. Illinois already has a base to begin with. There are a couple guys that were hurt this year that sat out that could have helped them. There's no doubt.
Right.
Because you know, I just saw them yesterday, and I have a pretty good handle on what the current situation is. Football's different, except in this area. If you had to pick a division to be in where you could make a move quicker, Illinois is in the one to do that.
Yeah, not the East. The East would be bad. And in fact, if the Big Ten starts talking about changes again, I mean, guarantee Illinois will say, we're fine. We're going to stay here. because and the West is good. I mean, Wisconsin's good. Nebraska's going to be good. Iowa is obviously really good. But the East is a nightmare. Penn State is really good. They're going to have a hard time. Obviously, Michigan, Michigan State, Ohio State are so strong. So really, I think Illinois has got a chance to be. They're not going to be good, Steve, right away.
Right.
But they've got a chance to fix it quicker than they would if they were in the East, certainly.
Bob, if John Gross, for example, wants to recruit in the state, he can go, obviously, into Chicago, which he's gone into Simeon before. He can go to the suburbs, which has a lot of talent as well.
Right.
Where can Lovie Smith go in-state where he can own his own state? Would it be the suburbs of Chicago?
He's got to go to Chicago, both publicly, which is inner city, and also the suburbs there.
Okay.
I think that, and again, Steve, St. Louis has got to be a big part of it, too. They've kind of fallen off there. I think that was a mistake by the last staff. I think they really screwed up that. But I think Lovie can go back there because, remember, he was there as a coach, too. So he knows St. Louis and Chicago. Get those two places going the right way toward Illinois. Then it can get better fairly quick.
That's right. In fact, yeah, you're right. When I sit down and I do charts, and of course, Penn State's played Illinois many times, they had a lot of guys from the St. Louis area, both on the Illinois side and on the Missouri side.
Right. Over time, they did, but they kind of got away from that over time, the last couple of years. I think that was a mistake, especially with Missouri, not in the greatest situation right now either. You want to take advantage of that. So I think that will turn because Lovie, again, has ties there. So he'll be fine there.
When's the last time Lovie Smith coached in college?
It's been 21 years.
So that's the last time he recruited.
That's the last time he recruited, the last time he coached in college. 21 years. Back then, he was with the Buckeyes in Ohio State with Johnny Cooper, but that's a long time. Mm-hmm. I think a lot has changed, Steve, since then. There was no Twitter. There's no Instagram. There's no Facebook. There was nothing. It was. I think we call people on the phone. That was it. I don't think the cell phones were even there, Ben. So it's going to be a lot different for him now.
Do you sense, because obviously Josh Whitman didn't make this move until he had Lovie Smith fully secured before he even talked to Bill Cubitt. Do you get a sense that maybe Lovie Smith already has a line on a couple of guys he wants to be assistant coaches?
I'll bet he's got the whole staff around lined up.
Okay.
I'd be very surprised if in the next week or so he doesn't have all the guys, because remember, they got spring ball starting eventually, we think. So, yeah, he's got to be ready to go. I think he'll have some guys. I've heard some names. I'm not sure I believe him. Mike Sherman's name came up as offensive coordinator possibility.
Right.
It was out of a job, so former college and pro coach.
Yeah.
So, again, I think there'll be guys that he'll try to bring in here quickly. The other thing you got to remember, there's 9 guys on the staff right now that are looking for jobs. So maybe some of them stay, too.
Yeah, Mike, in fact, lives on Cape Cod. Mike Sherman does. He's coaching at Nauset Regional High School right now.
Right. Might want to come back to college.
Yeah. One final question. Penn State now has its safety coach and co-defensive coordinator, Tim Banks. You were around Tim for several years. What was your thoughts on Tim Banks as a coach?
I first of all, as a person, he's wonderful. He's one of the best people I've been around. And also, he's got really good culture. I don't think he was allowed to do everything he wanted to do because it was kind of Tim Beckman's defense. So I think Tim, given the support of the coaching staff there, will be able to be a really good coach. I think they'll be happy with him as a person and as a coach. He knows a lot of what he's doing. He's a coach at a high level. He didn't get dumb overnight. He went from having one of the best defenses in the country at Cincinnati before he came here, and then they just fell apart. But it was not Tim's fault. I promise that. So I think Tim will be great, and if you see him, say hello for me.
Absolutely. I'll probably see him probably next week, so I will definitely pass it along. Hey, Bob.
Great.
Bob, thanks so much. I know you have a press conference coming up here in a little more than an hour. We appreciate the time and the insight, as always.
Steve, anytime. Thanks a lot for having me on.
Bob Osmussen. From the Champaign News Gazette. We'll come back with more in a moment, including Maria Sharapova and her situation as we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
You just don't think about insurance. You buy a home, you take out a policy, and you forget about it until something happens and you need it. Then you think about insurance a lot. My agent recommended insurance from Selective. Insurance for our home and property, jewelry, even the food in our refrigerator. Selective thinks about everything, so I don't have to.
Selective. Response is everything. Get to know us at Selective.com.
Get to know your local Selective agent. Pretty Insurance on Market Street in Sunbury or at PrettyInsurance.com. Find out what Pretty Insurance can do for you.
Are dealing. Byron Maxwell and Kiko Alonso have been dealt to the Miami Dolphins for undisclosed draft pick. This, of course, is pending physicals. We'll see about that. Alonso, and look, when Alonso's on the field, he's a good player. The problem is he's never on the field. And Maxwell, not as bad as people in Philadelphia made him out to be, but didn't have a good season. So they've cleared out cap room. And by the way, DeMarco Murray and Ryan Matthews are both on the trading block as well. So Kiko Alonso and Byron Maxwell go to Miami. That clears cap space. In fact, it cleared about $4.9 million in cap space for Philadelphia. And so they made the trade today. Meanwhile, the Maria Sharapova, they had a press conference today in Los Angeles, and everyone assumed that she was retiring the same day as Peyton Manning. Nope. Not retiring. Instead, she flunked a drug test. It's a drug she's been taking that's produced in Latvia for 10 years. And starting on January 1st, and she received an email about this, but she says she didn't open the email. And let's face it, how many of you see certain things and go, I'm not opening that, and you move on, or you delete it and move on? That's probably what she did. Well, it was informing her that this drug that she's been taking for 10 years is now on the ban list. Well, she tested positive for the drug at the Australian Open. So now she's awaiting her penalty. She's already pulled out of the tournament at Indian Wells in California. She got to the quarterfinals of the Australian Open this year where she lost to Serena Williams. And Sharapova right now is ranked 7th in the world. It is manufactured in Latvia. It is used extensively in Lithuania and in Russia, but has not been approved by the Food and Drug Administration in the United States. Several athletes have tested positive for the drug since January 1st. The world 1,500-meter champion from Ethiopia, the cyclist from Russia, an Ethiopian marathoner, a Russian ice dancer, and a Ukrainian biathlete have all flunked drug tests because of this drug now, which is now on the ban list as of January 1st. So Maria Sharapova was one of them. She says been using it off and on, mostly on for 10 years. And I don't know what it does. They claim it's a stimulant. I don't know what it does. But she's had a series of problems that she's dealt with, such as irregular EKGs. There's been evidence of diabetes, and that's not a surprise, that runs in Maria Sharapova's family. She says she's been getting the flu every couple of months. And so she's been on this drug now for 10 years. But it made the ban list. And at the Australian Open, unbeknownst to her, because she didn't read the email, she says, I tested positive. Okay. She says she takes responsibility for it. She was asked about the rumor that she was going to retire. And she says, would I retire in a room that has a carpet that looks this bad? Some have wondered about her endorsements. She will have no problem with her endorsements. Zero. While it's an interesting question about repercussions, I don't picture any for her. Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. I'm in the Sunbury Motors studio, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to have you with us today. Brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. The Purdys have gone out and served their customers for decades, and I mean served them. They found their customers the right insurance. They found them the best price. When there's a claim, they've jumped on it right away. All at Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. And I'm in the Sunbury Motors studio, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, K Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Again, Kiko Alonso and Byron Maxwell dealt by the Eagles to the Dolphins for a draft pick. They didn't say what round. It sounds like it's conditional on passing physicals first, then they'll announce the round. They clear up $4.9 million in cap space by doing this, and they're better by addition through subtraction. Time now for our sports bozo of the day. It's Trey Mason of the L.A. Rams. Tracked down by the police, wouldn't get out of the car. Finally was tossed into jail. Speeding, drugs. Not good all the way through. Not good. Trey Mason, sports bozo of the day. Peyton Manning retired today. I think everybody knows that by now. It was a very touching ceremony. Rob played the Manning part earlier. We really choked up when he talked about John Unitas. How about that one, Rob? He got all choked up talking about meeting John Unitas for the first time when the Colts went back to Baltimore.
Well, remember that time he actually wanted to wear Johnny Unitas's, was it a number or black shoes to honor him, and the NFL wouldn't let him do it?
High top, black top.
Yeah.
High top, black shoes. They wouldn't let him do it.
Exactly. Yeah, that was kind of wrong.
It's the NFL.
Yeah, it's true. The no fun league.
I'd like to do this as a tribute to John Unitas. I'm sorry. We think that's bad. Who's running this clown show? I mean, really? They care more about socks than they do about other issues. Okay, then we mentioned Maria Sharapova. Our number is 1-800-795-9565, 1-800-795-9565. I wonder what Peyton Manning's going to do without football. He's been immersed in football. I was talking to Jim Caldwell. I've known Jim Caldwell for 30 years. He's now the head coach of the Detroit Lions. But Jim, for years, was the quarterback coach with the Indianapolis Colts and then eventually became the head coach. And it was Jim who coached the Colts against the Saints in the Super Bowl. And I remember sitting down for dinner one night at St. Elmo's in Indianapolis, Jerry Dunn, me, Jim Caldwell. And the first thing, I was kidding around, I said, "Boy, you've done wonders with that Manning kid." Just like, oh, God. He says, yeah. He says, you know what? He told me how hard he works, that in his home he built a theater, and then he would have teammates come over all the time, and they'd watch film together away from the practice field. I mean, he's always been immersed in football and Papa John's commercials. He's always been immersed in football and Nationwide commercials. But that's what he's been immersed in. It's going to be interesting to see now what Peyton Manning does without that day-to-day grind of football that certainly seemed to be extremely important to him. And you know every network's going after him. RG3 was released today by the Redskins. They were going to take a $15, $16 million cap hit on him. So he's out of the mix. The Penn State wrestling team won the Big Ten championship yesterday. It's interesting. If Penn State had won a Big Ten championship 7 years ago, the rejoicing would have been off the charts. If they had three individual champions, the rejoicing would be off the charts. But now they're expected to be so good all the time. This is their fifth Big Ten title in Cale Sanderson's 7 years. And people, of course, are expecting them to win the national championship at Madison Square Garden in 12 days, which they very well may. But they end up getting a couple of disappointments along the way. And one disappointment is they didn't get 10 through, they got 8 through. Now, we'll find out about Morelli on Wednesday, but right now they got 8 through in terms of the actual competition and not 10. So, okay, there's some disappointment there. Nolf lost to Martinez, number one wrestler all year, and lost. Martinez is the defending national champion. When you win, even though you know you may have to adjust here and there something, it's harder to really kick it into gear and adjust because you won. Martinez lost. So his desire to make adjustments was off the charts. And he made a couple of adjustments here and there. And the referees, they must have had a bad angle on whatever they were showing on their monitor. It was not the same as the TV monitor at home, where it was definitely an escape and a takedown. They just they flat out blew that, but it didn't matter. Martinez won. I mean, the right guy won on that day. Now it's going to be off to Nolf to adjust back and see what he brings to the table against Martinez in New York, because they will wrestle again. Nickel was great one. McIntosh was great one. Rutherford was the outstanding wrestler of the tournament. He was tremendous. Zane Rutherford. Then the other disappointment is you have three other guys in finals that they didn't win. Yeah, Gulabant. Again, Megalutis gets in another tight one. Just can't quite get over the top. But they all get one more shot. They'll get one more shot at Madison Square Garden. So overall, for Penn State, let's say in wrestling, I mean, just a really, really good weekend. They met expectations with a couple of exceptions, and that, you know, when the expectations are that high, that's pretty darn good. That's pretty darn good. And obviously, it must have felt like a road wrestling match, because I'm sure every single person in that building was rooting against a Penn State wrestler, except for those who went there with Dick of Milton on the bus to see it. But they're a blue blood program, as I pointed out. And they have been for decades. They've consistently finished in the top 10. They just weren't able to get over the top and get over the hump and win. And now Cale Sanderson has them not only over the hump, they have established themselves as the platinum program. I mean, they are the platinum program. As I mentioned earlier, Penn State basketball is a different standard at the moment. They are not and never have been a blue blood program. Yeah, they made the Final Four in 1954, a year after Penn State won its wrestling national championship. But they have never attained a level of consistency of any kind. Really good year 1 year, drop down the next. Really good year, maybe two back-to-back, then drop down 3 or 4 years in a row. And that's where they've been. And that's the amazing... So when you look at what Patrick Chambers done, I felt that the best win he's had here at Penn State was yesterday. Like, Illinois? Yesterday? Really? Yeah, really. Because they had expectations. It's been a while since I've had expectations here. They had expectations on Thursday night against Northwestern. And they didn't produce. It's a 40-minute game. They played 10 really good minutes. But unfortunately, the game is 40. And they put themselves in a spot where you had to win yesterday. Well, they did. Not only did they played from in front. That was huge. Anytime Penn State can play from in front, it makes a big difference instead of that constant swim upstream that they have to do. And you notice they're, what, 5-3 in their last eight games. It went over Iowa, went over Big Ten champ Indiana, and that's been a, you know, but they've won 16 games or better in each of their last three seasons. Now, is 16 wins an astronomical number? No. But they haven't done that here since Bruce Parkhill won 20 games or better in four straight years, 89, 90, 91, 92. Patrick Chambers can't do anything about the past, but he can do something about the future. And they've now laid a foundation where they've had three straight 16-plus win seasons. They reached seven wins in the conference this year. Yes, they're 7-11. But this is the first level of consistency I've seen out of Penn State in terms of a level of consistency to win and string some wins together over a three-year span in 24 years. So it's a really, to me, a really good starting point. I've got Ohio State coming up. And again, Penn State is not a blue blood basketball program. Patrick Chambers and I will talk more about this tonight on the Penn State Coaches Show presented by Pepsi. We'll be at Letterman Sports Grill in here in State College from 6:05 to 7. You'll hear it right here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Penn State Wrestling, on the other hand, Cale Sanderson awoke the sleeping giant. They've always been a blue blood wrestling program. Always have. But the dominance of Iowa kept them from getting over the top. Well, now everybody's chasing Penn State because he's done a remarkable job. He's taken something that had the potential to be great, and he made it great. Patrick Chambers is taking something that has the potential to be good, and he's on the path to making it good. Notice the words I use there. Cale Sanderson took over something that had the potential to be great, and he made it great. Patrick Chambers took over a program that has the potential to be good, and he's making it good. You have to somehow get yourself in the Big Ten in basketball in the fourth through seven spots in the league. If you can get to that level, you now put yourself into the conversation every year somewhere about the NCAA tournament, either that you're in or you're the last four in or you're the first four out. But if you can finish fourth through seventh in the conference, that gets you in the conversation. That's important. And that's where what Penn State, that's the next level for them to get to be in that. You know, it means they're going to have to pass out a couple of people to do it. You do have to pass out some people. Also, your schedule makes a big, big difference in all this. No two conference schedules, unlike the past, are alike. Penn State played an exponentially more difficult schedule than Indiana, which won the conference championship. Exponentially tougher. Take a look at Indiana's schedule. First of all, congratulations to them on a great season, on winning the Big Ten regular season title and being the number one seed in the Big Ten tournament. They won the games. They earned it. But why isn't everybody on the Indiana bandwagon, but they're really on the Michigan State bandwagon? Quite simply, Indiana played the easiest schedule in the Big Ten this year. There will be four teams playing on Wednesday in the opening round of the Big Ten tournament. Minnesota, Rutgers, Illinois, and Nebraska. Do you realize that Indiana played those four schools seven times this year? Seven. The max you can play them is eight. They had home and away with Illinois, home and away with Minnesota, home and away with Nebraska, and a one play with Rutgers. Seven. Penn State played that same group of teams five times. Penn State played Michigan home and away. Penn State played Iowa home and away. Penn State played Michigan State home and away. They also played Nebraska home and away, so there's that grouping there, and they played Northwestern home and away. And everybody else was a one play. Obviously, Indiana was here. They beat them. Penn State beat them by 5. But if you're wondering about the knock on Indiana's schedule, 4 teams are playing in the opening round of the Big Ten tournament Wednesday in Indianapolis. Of the 18 conference games, 7 of them for Indiana were against those 4 teams. That's why people have not been high on Indiana. No 2 conference schedules are alike. Penn State played the tougher schedule. Penn State played a tougher schedule than Indiana did in the same conference. It's who are your home and aways and who are your one plays, and a lot of times that determines where you finish. We'll come back, wrap things up in a moment. Brought to you by Purdy Insurance on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Forget the leprechauns and the shamrocks. You won't need the luck of the Irish to get a great car at a great price. All you need is Sunbury Motors Kia.
We wanna see you in a Kia. Sunbury Motors Kia.
In March, the magic is right here at SMC. 2015 Kia Rio's at a low, low price of $14,814.
And they have 5 at this magical price.
How about a 2015 Kia Optima starting at $18,999? Or the award-winning SUV, the 2016 Sereno, starting at just $24,981? And all of these vehicles are available with 0% financing for up to 66 months. Plus, all new Kias come with a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited powertrain warranty. So hurry on down to the Strip in Hummel's Wharf or at SunburyMotors.com, where they're not wearing the green, they're saving you the green and lots of it. SMC, selling more cars, satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Warranty is a limited powertrain warranty. For details, see retailer or go to Kia.com.
This is from Rob's personal CD. Very impressive.
How'd you find out about that?
I have sources.
Kevin's his name, isn't it?
Not revealing. What do you think about the Alonzo Maxwell? You're a big Eagles guy.
I had high, high hopes for Kiko Alonzo when they made the trade for him. I thought it was exactly what the Birds needed. And like you said, when he's on the field, he's just outstanding, but he just can't stay healthy. And you need a guy like that on your team who can't stay on the field. He's going to do you no good when he's on the sideline.
And Maxwell didn't meet expectations at corner.
Yeah, I'm on the fence. I hate to see him go, but I'm also glad to see him go. Because I think they can probably do better for less money, get a younger player in there who can probably do just as well.
This may open up some things in the free agent market for them.
I kind of get the feeling that's where they're headed, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, Penn State Coaches Show featuring Patrick Chambers is tonight. Final one for the 15-16 season. And a couple questions I'll ask him along the way about his team. Maybe some big picture questions as well. And that will be 6:05 to 7:00. The game will be with Ohio State at 6:30 Thursday evening. 6 o'clock will be the airtime. So the game plan is... Rob already is just trying to drive me into the ground. I mean, Rob said, you're doing the show. You understand that? I said, yes, I am. So what we'll do is I'll do the show in Indianapolis on Thursday. And when the show's over at 5 o'clock, I'll walk over to the arena and be on the air by 6. It is just a walk. It's about, 3-4 blocks. That's it.
Unless some autograph hounds come up and ask you for an autograph or something. Steve, what's your autograph?
I've always been good about that. And pictures and whatever. But well, I have plenty of time. The problem is you got to go to the back of the building. That's the problem. You just can't walk in the front door and go in. You got to go all the way around to the back side of the building on the railroad side where it's Delaware Street and go in the back there. So it takes a little longer. But it's a great hotel location. Rob, you'd love this. The hotel's great. You're 2 blocks away from St. Elmo's and Harry and Izzy's, the restaurant. Palomino's close as well. Lucas Oil Stadium is on the front side of the hotel, and the field house is on the other side of the hotel. I mean, the location is unbelievable. And you, Rob, need to get the St. Elmo's shrimp cocktail.
Okay, I'll take that as a high recommendation.
Oh, if you ever watch College Game Day, they brought over, it's immersed in horseradish. And part of the trick is that as you eat it, can you eat it in such a way where very little horseradish gets into your system? Because, Rob, it opens up every pore in the body. And it is... They had Jay Billis, Jay Williams, and Seth Greenberg one day early in the season in Indianapolis. And Jay Williams took the shrimp and he fired it into his mouth. And I sat at home and I could watch the tears rolling down his face. I'd say, that wasn't very smart, Jay. I know.